Blog Talk Radio. This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening. Good morning and welcome to another podcast. We have on the line today Shona McDaniels. Hi, Shona.
Hi, Alpha. How you doing?
And I am doing fine today. And we also have on the line David Washington. Hello, David.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm broadcasting today from Chicago, Illinois. And what I want to talk to you all about, so we'll just jump right into the conversation, is this is part three of a series of creative conversations with Sojourner Truth Art Heritage Museum. And we're talking to Shona about her kickoff of her community mural beautification and educational workshop that she is launching through the museum. Shona, will you give a little overview of why you're doing this project?
Yes. Actually, the project is called Cultivating Spaces Through the Harlem Renaissance. And we decided to create this project as an opportunity to educate children, youth, and adults about the visual artists of the Harlem Renaissance. Often we hear about the poets and the jazz musicians, but we don't hear about the visual artists of that time period. And it's very important to me as an artist to stand up and make sure that I do this very important work to make sure that these individuals are not erased from our history books and that our community are aware of their legacy. So that is the reason why we created this project, and we've been working diligently for the past 10 years going into the schools, creating projects inspired by these visual artists. We've been showcasing documentaries, and we've been having artist talks. We've been having exhibitions all centered around the visual artists of the Harlem Renaissance. So we decided to take this project on the road into predominantly African-American communities to beautify the space where these children and families live and invite these children and families to come be a part of a community day, which we plan to have four times a year, to come and paint right alongside the artists to create totem poles, murals on the walls, murals on the pavement, murals on benches, inspired by these amazing artists. And it's we kicked off the first project August 31st, and it was absolutely phenomenal. And we had a variety of artists from Sacramento. We were really happy to have you come and join us all the way from Chicago to work with the totem pole that was inspired by Lois Milam Jones. And the kids, they had a wonderful time that day. We had poets. We had other entertainers there, all centered around the education of these amazing artists.
And they really did enjoy that day, and it was a fun-filled day and a long afternoon of, of artists and presentations, and, you know, the students came in and out of the art center. So, Shauna, you talked right now about what inspired you. You also talked about your passion and how it developed, and now you talk about how it manifested. And one of the things that you didn't do when you introduced yourself was talk about your role as executive director of Sojourner Truth Art Museum.
Yes.
And how that manifested.
Well, that's always been in my soul and spirit as a young artist. And I tell everyone I came into this world with a paintbrush in my hand, you know. And so I was ready to paint when I arrived. And as a little girl, probably around the age of 6 or 7, I would always sketch images of Sojourner Truth. I saw pictures of her, this profound looking woman in her long black dress and shawl and bonnet, but I really didn't know who she was, what she was all about. But I knew just from the look in her face that she was a phenomenal woman. And so as I grew up, you know, I continued, you know, as a teenager to always sketch images of Sojourner Truth. I started learning more information about her and her legacy. And I told myself when I grew up, I want to do something to honor this woman. And that's exactly what I had the opportunity to do when I was able to get my 501c3 in 2002. Prior to that, you know, I was doing work. I was doing work with you, with Celebration Arts and other projects that we all collectively worked on. But in 2002, I was able to get my own 501c3. And open up a cultural center. We call this the Sojourner Truth Cultural Center, Arts and Cultural Center. And in 2006, we started talking with the Sacramento Association of Museums about renaming the cultural center to the to give it museum status, the Sojourner Truth Museum, because we had actually over the years in the space started painting a variety of historical murals, and the actual location became somewhat of a tourist attraction. And in 2007, we were awarded that status. And so we called ourselves the Sojourner Truth Multicultural Arts Museum. About 2 years ago, we transitioned from that name to the Sojourner Truth African Heritage Museum. And so we're very proud of the work that we do at our location to continue to inspire our community through the legacy of Sojourner Truth, and not just Sojourner Truth, but other African-American leaders that impacted, you know, our communities. And so,
Shauna, what's the address? What's the location? What's the address?
We're at 2251 Florin Road.
And it's also an art and business kind of incubator.
Yes, we're housed inside the what used to be called the incubator, but now. The name is the Florin Square. Prior to the Florin Square, it was called the Florin Arts and Business Complex. But originally, that name, Incubator, was developed to attract African American business owners to that space to work together collectively and to be able to build and create something spectacular for that South Sacramento community. And actually today is, this is exactly what's happening. African American business owners are working together collectively, and they're creating change, and they're creating an impact for the Sacramento South Area community. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and all of this has happened and transpired over the last 20 years, but you've been there the last 15 years developing programming and seeing growth and change in the community. And with that, I'm going to move into how you are looking at the public participatory art projects that you are doing in South Sacramento and other locations in Sacramento. And I think the question that I really want to focus on here is allow the public to participate. When you moved out of the museum and now you're looking at another audience, you're looking at how, again, the public participates. And talk a little bit about that process. And, again, we have on the line with us David Washington. And we're going to, after you answer that question, David's going to come on and talk about how his response to working with you and this and your projects.
Yes, it's very important, I believe, when we invite the community to come and be a part of the mural-making process, that it gives them an opportunity to be vested in what we're creating in our community. It makes them feel proud, you know, little children, you know, when they've had an opportunity to participate on the mural, you know, when they see that mural and when they're with their parents or someone that they know, they run up to the mural and say, look, look, you know, I did that. I participated in that, and it gives them that sense of, you know, excitement, makes them feel good about themselves, good about the fact that they were able to be a part of something that helped to beautify their community. So, and they have a voice. It gives them a voice. You know, when we do these projects, we reach out to the community. We just don't go to a community bring our own personal ideas and concepts. We reach out to the community and say, hey, we're getting ready to do this particular project. Is there anything that you would like to see, you know, on this mural? You know, we invite them to the table. We have a group discussion, you know, about what is the theme of the mural going to be, the colors that we're going to utilize for the mural, you know. Sometimes we have a group sketch night, you know. We allow everyone to sketch out a concept for the actual mural, and then after that, collectively, we talk about all of the sketches, you know, and collectively, we can say, hey, you know, if one person sketches a flower, if another person sketched a bird, okay, do we want the flower to be on the mural? Do we want the bird to be on the mural? Do we want both of them to be on the mural? You know, do we want to utilize bold colors, primary colors? We have that group discussion and make sure that everyone is a part of the mural making process. And again, this helps yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have David. David, are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great, because I had you on mute for a minute there and wasn't able to get you back online. But now that you're back online, let's talk to you and switch the gears. When Shona said, want to join me in making a difference, what did you say?
I was honored, to be honest. Growing up, I kind of met Shona through her son. We used to go to school together at MUI, in Oak Park, and I remember going to the museum for a field trip and just seeing all of the paintings, and like I wanted to do that at that moment. So it was just an honor to grow up to now being 19 and then getting a call from Shona saying come help. So it was a beautiful thing.
So what is your role at the Saturnia Drew at the museum? I saw that you started off volunteering about and doing mural work about 5 years ago. So what's your current role?
My current role right now is just working alongside Shona with the murals. That's all I've been really doing with her and Izzy. And we've just been knocking out all of these paintings. Hopefully that we can have some more work going towards the museum as well. So, yeah.
So you told us a little bit about yourself. What's your trajectory for your own art practice?
Like, what is the purpose for it?
Your trajectory is where you're going to go with it. What are you?
I do want it to be in the community, but I want to be able to spread what I can do outwards to like young Black men in America, and young Mexican men in America, Hispanic, Latino men, Asian men, all men. Just want to let them know that there is some type of individuality in masculinity, and that's kind of what I want to show in my art. And I also want to show like the appreciation of women. So I kind of just want to like gather everybody. I want to just be able to spread everywhere, you know?
Okay, okay, let's explore that. So public participatory art projects allow the public to collaborate. My question to you is, what's the process like? And give me an example of how relationships are developed in short periods of time, or can they?
I'm sorry, may you repeat that again?
Okay, all right. So I wanted to talk a little bit about public participatory art projects, which allow the public to collaborate. And that's what you guys are doing. And that's what we did over there at the Mack Road Art Center with Cotton Comes to Harlem.
Yes.
So I would like for you to talk about what that process is like and give an example of how relationships were developed in a short period of time. Are relationships, or can they develop in a short period of time?
They can develop immediately. Like, I remember doing the bench with Izzy, and we had I'm going to just call him a student because it was almost like he was a student. He came in, and he wanted to get some food, but he had to work with us. And it's crazy how fast it took for him to switch from, I can't do it at all, to saying, okay, how do I make these shapes? Or how do I do this line better, you know? And, like, it kind of, like, sparked his interest right then and there, right when we gave him the paintbrush. So it's all about, I feel like the process is all based off of spirit, based off of what people feel. If we're able to bring the spirit of, like, light energy and positive energy, then everybody else is going to gravitate towards that. And I at least try to mimic or try to challenge themselves to do what we are able to do. So, yeah.
Okay, great. And because this is part of pop-up research, when I do these creative conversation shows, I want you to talk for a moment about how you measure success. What is success to you, and how do you measure that?
I believe success is based off of I kind of, when I think of success, I think of like blessings and just having an abundance of blessings. I don't really see success. I don't know. I see success in the bigger picture for everyone. So I couldn't really speak for myself, but for everyone, I think that it's just getting to a common goal of being able to see what we're really capable of and see what our light is and being able to transmit that to others. So that's success for me.
So, you know, I think that's any response, and that's a great response because that is kind of like the work we do when we get out and we do community art education and when we do this type of what we're calling and what developers of city agencies are calling art and placemaking projects, you know, and how. And when I talk about tactical urbanism, that's the grassroots level or coming from the street level to introduce and impact, you know, our viewers, our people that we're engaging in what we're doing as public art, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a story related to the production of your art project or your public art project? Do you have a story that sticks out in your mind of
how I kind of started or how I began? I remember growing up being like, I was probably around 5 or 4, and I remember going to the mosque one night, and I was so used to drawing, like, I started drawing women first, and that was kind of an issue at first because my parents were like, okay, why do you always draw women? But, like, I kind of felt more comfortable. It was almost like it was a calling. Like, a lot of, like, women aren't seen for their actual beauty. And I feel like me as a child, just wanting to do that more, it made me love women more. And it's appreciate what they are here for in this world. And so, like, that's where I kind of started. And then I moved on to, like, going to school, and I took advantage of like, art majors in, like, high school and or art, like, kind of like general subjects or general classes. And from there on, like, I learned, like, different techniques to help me kind of not perfect my craft. Perfect my craft and make it to what I want it to be. So I kind of started there and moved on with, I went to Sac State for art studio for a while, and then I transferred to Academy of Art University and stayed there for a year studying fashion design. So after that, I kind of went back to my community and started working with after-school programs. So right now I'm working with Rose Family Creative Empowerment Center, where we're working with kids in the Meadowview area and in the South Sacramento area. So that's been a blessing, too, being able to spread what I know based off of what I learned and giving that to my students. And now it's just a time of, like, I put in my 2-week notice for my job after being there for a year plus. And, like, I'm leaving on terms of I have to learn more so I can come back and bring that to my community, because I don't want them to be stuck on, you know, the same things. I want them to learn more and more and more as I walk as well, you know? So that's kind of my story up to now.
It sounds great. The question that was in my mind while you were talking is Meadowview. You said Meadowview. So can you describe Meadowview, the demographics, you know, what Meadowview is to the rest of the city, what Meadowview is to the South Side?
I feel like, personally, this, like, South Sacramento area in general is just a very diverse area. You have the Asian community on one side, and they thrive, and then you have the Mexican community in their section, and they thrive, and you have the Black and Middle Eastern communities that are near together, and they thrive as well. And it's like, as much as people see it as a divide, I see it as a collective type of way of building, because we have to build within our communities before we can go out and build with each other. And so, I mean, I guess that's just the potential that I see in the community, at least, that everybody can work together and build a utopia, in a sense. Meadowview can be considered, like, wild or dangerous and everything, but in there I feel home and I feel comfortable. So it's just, yeah, that's kind of what Meadowview is. And South Sacramento.
Okay. And it's positioned between the Interstate 5 and Interstate 99, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, great. So this is a question I'm going to pose to you and Shona. We have about less than 4 minutes on our call, and I'm going to do a quote right here. And the quote is, I'd like for both of you to explore this quote. In a world where we are becoming more insular with advanced technologies, our events hope to bring residents together through positive interactions with neighbors and their neighborhood. Can you explore that quote? I know I think you touched on it right now, but, you know, either one of you could kind of answer that or explore that quote.
David's doing such a good job. I'm going to let David. Go ahead, David.
Well, that quote instantly resonated with me because I represent kind of like I represent the Black queer community of my community. So I feel like with me, like I feel like how you're saying that these communities are going to merge together, and pretty much what you said, I can't really say it like word for word, but I tried to paraphrase it. But pretty much it's like doing my work and representing my community is almost like, it's not almost, but it's kind of it's an inspiration for others. And hopefully I can come across more people that are representing the Black queer community in Sacramento so that we can thrive as well and build some type of, you know, like leave a mark in the artist community in Sacramento. And we can bring something to the artist community. I don't know, something that's, that nobody probably never really thought of. So it kind of resonated with me like that. That was just an example, like, of how people can, like, come together and merge their ideas and make it a great thing. So
how does technology fit into that? I know that when we were there at Mack Road at the Arts Center, there's a lot of technology where the general public or, you know, the adults are saying, you know, kids are spending so much time on their cell phones, iPads. They're always in front of the computer dealing with technology, you know. And
right.
So with this, well, so let's kind of expand the conversation a little bit so that we're inclusive of that part of the narrative.
Right.
Because that's what started.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm driving, but the technology part, that I feel like parents kind of miss the fact that, yeah, like children or young people are on their phones, but they don't know that they're always on Snapchat or on Instagram, so they're able to instantly snap a picture of their experience and send it off and spread that same like excitement that they experience of even wanting to take the picture to other people. Then you know that then, like, other people are kind of, like, screenshotting that and then sending it to other people. So technology, in a sense, is a blessing in that moment. And it helps, in a way, to merge those communities so that other people can see that. Because not everybody's going to go look for, a Republican person is not going to go look for a Democratic person to see what they're talking about unless they actually see it on Instagram or they see it on Facebook or any of these other social media websites. And that's I don't know, I just see technology as a blessing in a sense, especially for art, for anything.
You know, I heard that. So I really heard that, you know, and I'm really listening. And I think that it's not a negative. I think that with its use, the way you gave the example, it could be, it's a positive tool. I don't think that the students that came out or the kids that came out missed that technology when they were painting, you know, and I don't think that they were fiending to just get back to what they were doing. I think that they were embracing and really working with the artist and the art experience.
Yes, and Alphonse wanted to make, go ahead, David.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Okay.
We just have 27 seconds left. This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversation. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening.